You eat chametz on Pesach, you eat on Yom Kippur, right? You sleep with your wife when she's in Nida. Who's doing?
I had a dream that I ate on Yom Kippur.
Okay, that's probably a good thing.
Really?
Probably a siman tov. Yeah. Mara says things like that.
It's really?
Yeah. You know, it's got it out of your system, you know. Anyway, but as far as us violating chatas. Violations. Probably the most common example would be Shabbos.
Right, like not even knowing.
Right. So if you don't even know, then
it's not a chata.
It's not a chata's infraction. Chata's infraction is you know you're writing, you just forgot it's Shabbos. You know it's Shabbos, you forgot that writing
that
is forbidden.
That happens.
I don't think so. Does it? When does that happen?
Doesn't happen.
You wake up in the morning and you put toast in the toaster and. And by the way, if you wake up in the morning...
Sometimes I forget it's Shabbos and then, like, I flick the light on in the bathroom, kind of. That's
right,
the closest.
So that's called misasek. So that's the lumdus I wanted to share with you from this Tosfos. Right? The question is not here, do you have to bring a chatas? The question is, the following Yom Kippur, do you have to feel that I need some kind of kapara? Right? So there's only one aveira in Hilchos Shabbos where the Gemara says, do something to make sure you don't do the aveira. It's probably smart to put fences around Shabbos all the time. Don't leave pencils on the table, because if there's a pencil on the table, you may come to just write down something about a birthday you want to remember, and you forgot that it's Shabbos. Right? That person would have to bring a chatas, because he knows he's writing.
He just forgot
it's Shabbos. And he knows that writing is forbidden on Shabbos.
Quick side question. There's muksa here, and the baby's going to grab it, and it's going to break?
That's a dangerous situation. You should always move the muksa.
Okay.
Right. Any kind of danger, those things are fences around Shabbos. Any kind of danger, you know, the Rabbanan don't create something called a Chefza Shalissa. They don't create something that now it's like a piece of pork. No, it's inherently mutter. It's just that it's a fence around the Torah. In the face of danger, the fence comes down for the moment. You know. Right, so let's get back to this. So I would think that the light switch on the bathroom is just such an example. Because, and it's based on the following lamedus. The Gemara Maseches Beitza says that if you have a fruit that fell on Shabbos to the floor, right? So that fruit is muktzah, because when it's Shabbos started, it was attached. But what if the fruit fell on Friday before Shabbos? Can you eat the fruit?
I would think no, they build a fence around that.
The answer is no on that also, because if you eat that fruit, not that just that you may come to eat muktzah fruits, no, because that's a gzera to a gzera. Muktzah itself is a gzera, right? No, if you eat that fruit, this is much harsher on Shabbos. You may come to pick another one, right?
What happens if you eat a muktzah fruit?
An egg laid on Yontif is muktzah and can't be eaten on Yontif. That's true. Right, muktzah food. Food is hardly ever muktzah. Muktzah is no lot, like a fruit that falls
from
the tree.
Just that exact situation just happened in Israel. My family has mangoes. They have a million trees, and they had the mangoes that just were ripe, and they fell on Shabbos, and they, you know, and that exact scenario just happened. It happened exactly like that.
And they placed it before you and expected you to eat.
No, not me. But it happened. My wife. I wasn't there, but she faced that.
Hmm.
I don't think she even knew. So
okay, so she knows.
But I'm saying that same scenario happened.
You know, press the question, if it's Shalom Bayis issues, then we can talk. But if she can just politely refuse. So here's the question. Another example that Gemara uses is fruit in probably grapes. In a large bowl, and when you remove the grape, at the last grape, you see that it was so hard, it pressed the bottom grapes, and there's juice at the bottom. So it's basically fruit that squeezed itself on Shabbos, right? So you can also argue that that's muktzah. Have a good day. But then press the question again: What if the juice collected there before Shabbos? So we say there too, don't drink that juice, because if you drink that juice, you may come to squeeze new grapes on Shabbos. It's a gzera, right? So based on those two gzeros, Tosfos asks in Maseches Beitza and Maseches Shabbos, that based on the following case. Shmuel was reading in a room dimly lit, and a Gentile saw him struggling to read, and he lit a fire. So Shmuel said, "Ah, now I have to leave because he lit it for me."
That's another common.
So then, when Shmuel saw that the Gentile walked in the room to read some stumping himself, so he said, "Ah, oh, he did it for himself. I'm getting incremental benefit from it, so I can use it." So he stayed. He went back into the room. So Tosfos asks, "Why don't we make a gzeira that a Gentile can't light?" Fires for us, because if they light fires for us, we might come to light one for ourselves, similar to those other two zeros. So Tosfos could have given different answers. Tosfos gives this one answer. He says that because to light a fire involves quite a bit of energy. You have to get the fuel, you have to get the wicks, you have to get the pyre, you have to get the fire from someplace, you have to make sure it doesn't blow out, you have to... By that time, he'll remember it's Shabbos. Right? So today, says some modern post-game, that all it is a switch. So you have to do something especially in rooms where you see it happens. You see on for a Friday night, 3 or 4 years, you see it happens. So on that, you have to go out of your way, like the checking your pockets during Shabbos, before Shabbos, and during Shabbos also, before you go out of the house. So because putting things in your pockets is such a common thing, and you walk outside and you see my wallet's in there, my watch is there, muktzah is in there, a tissue is in there, or a fruit is in there, so too, you should put those covers on top of them. I'm not making a pitch for this because I sell them. I'm just saying that you should, at least in the bathroom, or a piece of tape.
I had a scenario where that one of my people that works in the building, he runs to help me, like he wants to help me with the elevator. I live on the 14th floor, and he just goes out of his way. Don't worry, I got it. Should I say, don't worry, I'm taking this there?
At some point, he may see this as part of his, like, a daita de nafshe, like
he likes
doing it.
It
for himself, because maybe he'll give him a bigger tip as a result or something.
Yeah, could be.
I know the West Side has been working with that kula for longest time, for 80 and 90 years, 100 years. There's a shul with an elevator where you take people, the doorman,
the Jewish center,
at least, or perhaps make a Shabbos elevator. I would just make it automatically stop at every floor, and then you still it's a little better. But no, they used to have a doorman, pressing, asking people where you're going, and they do that in the buildings now.
Yeah.
So even if he's doing that for everybody, could be if you're going with a neighbor, a Gentile neighbor, goes, I'm going with him, and he says, okay, what floor are you going to? You know, but if he's doing it only for you, it's hard. It's not so simple to find a cool on that.
So now the modern poskim though think that if you do flip on the switch, you didn't cover it before Shabbos, it's a serious issue, just like if you carried outside of that neighborhood, if you didn't check the pockets prior to Shabbos.
But it was still not done. So you want to say that's now called Bishogeg?
Yeah, if we're saying it's on the same level as not checking your pockets, then you would have the same.
But I wouldn't bring it up to a chatas offense. It's now
it's more like a guideline.
It needs a kind of kapara. In other words, misasek does not really need kapara. You know what I'm saying? But misasek means that you're just walking along. You didn't realize that Shabbos, you need to realize what you're doing. You go to the bathroom in the middle of the night, you're just so tired, and you got woken up by something, and now you realize you have to go to the bathroom. So you went for two minutes, and you know, why is the light on? Don't you? You just shut it.
Right.
You know, or you went in the bathroom and turned on the light, you know, without realizing. And then sometimes later in the day, you wonder, how did that light get on? And you don't even remember doing it. That's misasek. Torah needs Meleches Machshavas. The whole point of Shabbos is creation and the building of the Mishkan. It's Machshava. It's not just Stam. You know. So it has to be quite a bit of a connection to be a Chai B'Chadas. All right, so let's think. When you do a Chadas in the Nosham, you say, Rebbeinu Shalom, so you can't bring a Chadas in case you did a Chadas, but you can bring what's called an Asham Talui. There was some Anshem Maisi used to bring Asham Taluis on a regular basis. In case I did, if you're not sure if you did a chatas offense, you can bring an Asham Talui. Asham Talui grants you kapara in the meantime until you find out whether it was really chatas or not, And if you find out it was a chatas, then you got to bring another chatas. So what does Hashem Tali do for you? In the meantime, it covers you. And anyone who, when you have to bring an Hashem Tali, if you ate two pieces of meat in front of you, right? One is chelev and one is shuman. Chelev is a kares offense. And you ate one of them, right? You know you ate one of them, the other one is lost. So there's no way to determine which is which, right? So that person has to bring an Hashem Talui in case I violated a chatas. If he somehow he gets the other one and he finds out the other one is the shuman, which is permitted fats, then he knows he ate that, so he has to bring the chatas for that. Sort of like the Egla Rufa. If you have to bring the Egla Rufa, you find the murderer of this guy, he still has to, you know, he still needs atonement for the murder. The murder isn't finished now. So this is mechaper in the interim. So the Gemara says that if you're ever chayav an Hashem Talu and Yom Kippur passes, Yom Kippur covers your Hashem Talu. Yom Kippur does not cover a real chatas. In other words, if someone eats blood the day before Yom Kippur, and now on Yom Kippur I said skilas reva herik herik chatas ola, when you do that at the end. So I cover my chatas. No.
Why not?
You're asking a good question. If it covers Nashim Talui, why doesn't it cover Chatas? I think, you know, I don't want to get inside the head of the rabbi who said this. It's in the Gemara. I think he was afraid that if people would...
There would be lax before?
Be lax. Lax all year. The Gemara says there's no kapara for someone who says, Echtav Ashuv. I'll sin, and if I'm having quadruple bypass tomorrow, let me enjoy a triple thick pastrami sandwich with right now, because they're going to clear away all the veins tomorrow anyway, all the arteries tomorrow anyway. Right. It's not smart behavior. Okay. All right, we'll close with that. Right, so let's finish with the kabbalas. I'm going to move on. We're going to move on. Okay? So the main thing to do is the chatas.